2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we call upon you this morning to attend to your word. That, Father, you would find it within your good pleasure to open our hearts and our minds. That as we search the scripture to know your truth, to understand the great value in us attending to your word, that we would find great blessing and that we would bring much glory to you. I pray, Father, that as we investigate your word this morning, that it would cause thanksgiving to well up in us, that it would cause us to become much more generous as your children. I ask this morning, Father, that you would bless us in the preaching of your word, that you would equip each and every one of us with what is necessary to receive the abundant word preached. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So here's the, today is basically the pivot point in the way we run our lives in this country. We have come out of what we would say an organized time of thanksgiving into the entrance into the advent of Christ. And I think that our sermon this morning is a wonderful transition point. For as we go from giving thanks, we are now into a season that we would say is a season of giving. And of course, what we're going to learn today is that all of this reflects God. It all reflects that the fact that God gave his Son, as we see in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so as we talk about this today, we need to remember that we are to reflect the goodness of God in our lives. We are to attend to those characteristics that God has transmitted to us. You see, giving is not about you. It's about God. We find in this passage here, it says that God has given. He so loved. And that's where it all starts at, isn't it? Giving is about love. You see, God loved us in such a way, not because we loved him, but he loved us and gave his Son as a propitiation for our sin. And so when we look at this aspect of giving from God, we see four different things here. First, that God loved. Second, that God gave, and that he gave the greatest gift of all, his son. And that is what we are to reflect. That is what we are to think about in the aspect of giving, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be a present. It could be the giving of time, the giving of oneself to an endeavor that is pleasing and helpful to somebody else. We don't always think about the ministry of the church and how we are all participants in that ministry. I know many people can come into a church and they can look at the man behind the pulpit and he says, that's the minister. He's the one who does all the ministry. But the reality is my job is to teach you how to minister to one another. The church is to be a church that ministers, that does what the Word of God tells us to do. And that is a reflection of God. And he gave, and we received. We received the Son. And those who receive the Son believes in the Son. And by that believing, by that giving, we have a result. We shall not perish, and that we shall have everlasting life. And when we recognize that there has never been such a gift as this, that God gave his Son and we received it, because that's all we do is receive it. There's no real action on our part. He gave it, it's ours. What does that do? There has never been such an act of giving that has brought about more thanksgiving than the gift of Jesus Christ unto everlasting life. Every act of giving is about thanksgiving. And that's what we need to consider today, is that reality. We must understand that the act of giving and thanksgiving is a characteristic of God that we share in. It is one of God's communicable characteristics. True giving without regard to oneself reflects the selfless act of God sharing his own Son with sinful man. And though God giving his Son that we may have eternal life was only a means to a greater end, and that end is that we may bow down and give him thanks, praising him and honoring him in all of his glory. That is what we must consider in all forms of giving. That the one who receives the gift will give thanks to God, praising him, honoring him, giving him glory. So this morning, we consider this concept of giving for the sake of thanksgiving. I hope that it changes all of our ideas and thoughts about how important it is to be generous, to be selfless, to cause others to glorify God because of us in giving in order to bring glory and thanksgiving to God. That's what this is all about this morning. It is about the reality that God is good and that we need to understand our purpose for giving. We talk about it all the time as though the most important thing is that we are able to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. And that is absolutely one of the purposes. But the ultimate purpose is that it brings thanksgiving to God. And we need to consider this in all aspects of our giving. Not only the giving that we give to the church on a regular basis, that is a ministry to give. We're going to see that. Also in any type of giving, the giving of our time to put together something for someone, to give our time to help somebody with something, to give gifts to one another. You see, giving and receiving are extremely important, and neither one of them should be opposed. When someone gives you something, receive it. Receive what they give you. And be have great desire to give. Because when you give to somebody, the results should be thanksgiving. And we should always be thankful for the gift that someone gives. You know, I'm reminded just now as I'm speaking of Janet Rice. She used to give me all sorts of things. And you go, okay, not sure what to do with this. But thank you for thinking of me. She teared an article out of a piece of paper thinking it was something I might have really been interested in. And it should, even though it may have been something that she, that maybe I wasn't really all that interested in, the thought that she was thinking of me made me thankful. You see, that's what giving is thoughtfulness and selflessness. To take the time to do something or to give something is a reflection of God. It is a reflection of His goodness, His benevolence, His generosity. And it really should be a characteristic of every believer. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 9 and kind of walk through it. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, when we think about this, it makes me think of 2 Corinthians 8. Because here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. It says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have." And so when we think about that, and we consider that in light of what this passage says, that leading, I'm not going to really deal with verse 6 too much, because that can be a sermon all in itself, because it spreads out throughout the entirety of Scripture and refers to many different aspects of sowing. If you're sowing anything, you can expect to receive the same thing back. That's the whole point. It's not just about money. If you sow anger, you'll receive anger. If you sow greed, you will receive greed. This is the way the world works. This is the truth of God's word. And so here it says, so let each one of you, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, well, you know, I'm really not all that cheerful about my giving. It begrudges me to give to people. So I guess, you know, I shouldn't give because that would be wrong. No, it's not what this is telling you. It's not telling you you shouldn't give. It says you should give, but you should give in a certain way. So the point is if you don't give in the way that it says here, then it means that there needs to be a change in the way of your thinking. It also has to be a change mainly in the way you see God. Because see, here's the reality. If we look back at 2 Corinthians 8 and moving on, it says, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you should be burdened." Not what he's saying at all. "But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack and their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality." Now, what does he mean by equality? I mean, is this some kind of communistic idea? No. This is the aspect that there's equality in giving and receiving. That's what it is. We should all be giving, and we should all be receiving. This has nothing to do with everybody should have the exact same amount in their pocket. But it does mean that no one should lack. That's part of the ministry of the church, that we should never allow people to lack. We should never allow people to live in the squalor that are part of this church. We should be there for them. We should be thinking about them. We should be doing what we can, because as the scripture goes on to say, as it is written, He who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. That's from Exodus 16. It's talking about manna. It's talking about those type of things that were going on back then. And the point is that when we recognize the reality of how we are to give willingly, considering the welfare of others, there'll be a time that we're receiving as well. That's why when you give, regardless to how large or how small, it should be done willingly and received graciously. I've seen people who begrudge somebody because they don't give as much as they do. Well, that gift just wasn't as good as the gift over here. That is contrary to the way we should see the Word of God. Even as Christ spoke of the poor woman who put the one mina, which is about 2 cents, in the offering plate. And these rich people were putting in something they would never miss at all. She said she was greatly blessed because she gave out of what she didn't have. They gave of what they did have. And when you look down on somebody like that, you're not considering the fact that they're giving the give. We don't always know everybody's circumstances, so we should be so generous in our receiving as well. I don't know what everybody's going through every day in their life. You see, so when it's coming to anything, I should receive everything with great joy. And you'll see why in a minute. But giving, that's what we're talking about right now. Is that aspect of giving. And so we should be giving out of a grateful heart, a cheerful heart. Not grudgingly, not of necessity. Not because someone's forcing you to give. You know, people have a problem with the word tithe sometimes because they want to connect it to tax. Well, all tithe means is 10%. It's all the word tithe means. It's a 10%. All right? But the reality is this. What we give should be a matter of our heart. 10% is what was the norm in Jewish tradition, in the commands that were given to be able to support the Levites. That was their job. All the Levites received their living through that 10% that all the other tribes were to give in. And so that was just that. But the point is it needs to be given, whether it's 10%. Some people may not be able to give 10%. Some people may be able to give 50%. It depends upon what they're able to do. And that may vary from one time to the next. And should it change the way we celebrate what they've given? No. See, because here's the point. It is an understanding of who God is. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So all what we have is for the abundance of good work. It is to produce good work. It is to do the ministry of the church. It is to do the ministry of the saints. It is not about equality, that if one person gives this, the next person should give the same. It's about the giving and the receiving. As it is written, he who dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Think about what they're saying. Because first of all, let's go look at that. That is from Psalms 112. Here's the psalm. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees the desires upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That is the direct quote, but that verse isn't even finished. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desires of the wicked shall perish. So what are we, who we, I mean, first of all, we can look at this and say, this has to have some aspects of speaking of Christ, and it does. But when this was written, the psalmist was speaking of a righteous man, speaking of a man who lives this way. And listen to what it does. When we look at verse 9, it says, he dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. That's thanksgiving. You see, that's the point. The giver receives thanks. That's the whole concept of giving. The person who receives isn't thanked. The one who gave is thanked. And as we begin to understand the fact that every good and perfect gift comes from heaven, comes from God, then whatever our gift is, even those little newspaper clippings that had little to no true value in them themselves, became of great value of thanksgiving because it was given out of love. It was given out of generosity. It was given without feeling begrudged, but out of a desire to give. We need to rethink all the way we give to people. We need to rethink how we give to the church. We need to think about it as a way that others will glorify God because of us. Because it is he who supplies, as it says, now may he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, giving is a matter of righteousness. It's giving of doing what God does. Have we ever thought about everything God has given? Not just the ultimate gift of Christ? But he's given you breath and life and everything else. He's given you the beautiful aspect of his creation to enjoy every day of your life. He's given relationships. He's given everything. And he's given men to men that we may minister one to another. Our desire should be to give, and then to praise and thank God when we receive. While you are enriched in everything, for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now, of course, we know that Paul is really he's talking here directly about the fact that the Corinthian church was giving money, supplies, whatever was necessary to take to someplace else for another church that was in desperate need. And so what he's saying to him here is that your liberality in giving is causing thanksgiving through us to God. See, when we have a problem with giving, again, as the scripture says, give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. All right? If you feel, because here's the point. If you're giving something because you think, I have to give that, or it's not good enough, that is giving out of necessity. And the scripture says, don't give out of necessity. It says, give joyfully. Whatever it is, out of great joy and cheerfully giving, whatever it is you have. Abraham and Eliana are not here today. They are constantly, I've got a stack in my office of pictures they have drawn. Little coloring pages. And they're always giving me these. And they're in my office. I've got them stacked up. Some are on the wall even. I love those things. They are giving those to me because they're thinking about me. Childlike giving. You see, it's a wonderful thing, and I'm sure right now that Abraham and Eliana are all excited because I mentioned them in the sermon, and they're watching it since they're not here. But see, the smallest thing. What value are in those pictures? How much do they cost? And they mean so much. I even remember as my children were growing up, and they'd give me things like that. They were so much more value than something they would have bought at the store. You see, it doesn't have to be big. And quite frankly, you know, with Christmas coming, the greatest gift that I enjoy on Christmas is my family being together. That's more important to me than anything else, and I am thankful that my family comes together. I am thankful to God that He's given me a family that loves one another. And when they come together, it brings joy to my heart. You see, that's more important to me than whether they go and buy me something of great value monetarily. Now, if they did, I would rejoice, as some of them have in the past, given grand gifts, and I was so thankful for those gifts. See, it's not the value, though. It's the gift. And God gave me the gift of children. It's a great gift that deserves to be thanking God for. You see, this is the whole concept here, is recognizing that all of our giving should bring thanksgiving. But listen to this. In verse 12, he says, for the administration of this service, he calls giving an administration of service. You see, you guys don't think about what ministry you actually provide. Every time you give to this church, you are providing, you are ministering to the people in this church. I don't care if it's from your finances or from your time or whatever it is. It's part of the ministry of the church. And thanksgiving is raised to God because of what you have done. And we need to think about that. Are we always being thankful for what somebody does and for what someone gives? Are we? Because that's the act of receiving. It causes thanksgiving to abound as he continues to go. He says, the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints. So again, he's speaking here about the gifts that are going into the church. All right? We know that. But he says it's a twofold purpose. It has these two aspects to it. He says, not only does it supply for the needs of the saints. So these gifts, whether it's finances or supplies or whatever it may be, time, is supplying the needs of the church. But it is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Listen to what Paul is expressing. It's almost like he downplays the fact that it is providing the needs in order to elevate that it's producing thanksgiving to God. See, that's how we should see it. It saddens me when people look down on somebody else because they don't seem to be doing the same as somebody else. And it saddens me to think that someone may be thinking, well, I can't give this little bit. I can't give what I really want to give. You give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And don't compare yourself to others. Consider the thanksgiving that God will receive because of what you gave, no matter how small it is. You know, I'm sure you've seen it on my desk. Now, Samuel didn't make that little dog on my desk particularly for me, necessarily, because it was in our Christmas Eve morning, you know, our Christmas Eve breakfast that we have, and we have a gift where we pass it around, and, you know, when the music stops or whatever we're doing, whatever gift is in your hand, that's yours. Well, that happened to fall in my hand, and the fact that I know my son made it makes it even more the grand. And it's just a little thing he made out of scrap wood. And it sits on my desk every day. You see, and that I'm thankful for. It's a little magnet that I put my phone on. On its nose. It's really cool. If you've seen it, Bill, you have to go in there and look at it. It's really cool. But I'm thankful for that. And every gift you receive, you should be extremely thankful for. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how small it is. And if you can only thank God for the big things, you've missed the importance of giving and receiving. Look at this church. Look around you. We are such a large church. And yet, with so few people, God has provided for this church year in and year out. Why? How? We need to thank God for whatever we receive as a church. No matter how large, no matter how small. And then we need to give generously, cheerfully, because it's a ministry. And then it's all a celebration. Our giving should be a celebration, knowing that it is going to produce thanksgiving to God. We need to keep those things in mind. So not only does it supply for the needs of the saints, but also abounding in many thanksgiving to God. These are the things that generosity produces. It produces what is needed, and above all things, it produces thanksgiving. And it's the proof of the ministry of the gospel. It tells us that in verse 13. All through the proof of this ministry. The proof of this ministry. They glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. Consider what this is telling us here. Our giving is an act of our confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been freely given to, we should freely give. You know, as we were talking about in Sunday school class this morning, I think this is where we can run into great conflict. Is we tend to think of people with a great amount of money to be better than everybody else. And we should be like them. I want to be like them. Who makes a man wealthy? And who makes a man poor? The scripture says God does. You see, because God desires for us to do good works, right? Well, if there was no poor people, those who are been blessed with money wouldn't have anyone to do good works for. We'd all just be living in our own little castles. No one needs. But God supplies for each of us that we may supply for others and vice versa. That's the beauty of the church. You see, when we go through the early church and we see how people would sell things so that they would make sure there was money for the poor, make sure there was money for the needs, that everyone, no one would go without. It wasn't communism. It wasn't that everyone should have the exact same thing. It was the fact that everybody should be thinking of each other, making sure nobody goes without. That's the point. Being benevolent with what you have. And just thinking about what joy you produce for others as they thank God for it. It's a beautiful thing. He says, well, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. See, all. We share with all. See, that's part of the importance of giving is the aspect of sharing, of generosity. And when we think about the aspect of giving to the church, because that is the context here, when the church is well supplied, it means that there's more the church can do. There's more that can be done for the congregation, for the ministry of the Word of God. And we've got to see that, and that it brings thanksgiving to God. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. You see, he's comparing their generosity that they're sending to somebody else, the grace of God in them. Because it is. It's grace. We do not give out of need nor necessity. We give out of generosity. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give with delight. as Christ, as God gave Christ with great delight, as Christ went to the cross with great joy, as he gave himself the propitiation for our sins. Our giving and receiving is the reflection of the gospel itself. And we need to remember that. Even as Paul reminded the Ephesian elders, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about it. It is more blessed. This is a quote of Christ. It's a paraphrase of Christ. I'm sorry, it's not a direct quote, because if you look up the passage, it's not exactly the same. It says a whole lot more. This is a paraphrase. Paul paraphrased. That's amazing, isn't it? Giving is greater because giving brings thanksgiving from the receiver. If there's no giving, there's no receiving, and there's no thanksgiving. When we look back in Matthew and look at the verse that says that we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, therefore, let your works be seen, your good works be seen, that others will glorify God because of you. That should be a goal of this church, as individuals and as a congregation. That others will glorify God because of what you have done. It's not about letting your right hand knowing what your left hand's doing. It can be done secretly in the sense that no one knows who did it. But it's evident and it's done to be seen. Because God said what is good will be seen. It will show itself. And when it is others will glorify God. Because of us. And even as it said earlier, that we need to have these things for good works, to produce good works. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. We're putting on a shower in a week. A wedding shower. And everything that's gone into that wedding shower is good work. It's good work. It's sharing in the abundance, both monetarily as well as sweat. The work that goes into it is all the ministry of giving. All of it. That's what it's all for. That's what we're all about, is doing good works that others will glorify God because of us. And he is glorified so much and most respectfully when thanks is given unto him. And so we need to consider, we need to reconsider the way we look at giving and receiving. If you give at any level, and I've broadened this out because it is a true principle throughout Scripture. The context of this passage has to do with giving for the support of the church. But it's a bigger principle in life. When the scripture says you see someone in need, give. If you have it available, give. Didn't say in the church, it says anybody. We should be available to give. And we should do it joyfully, knowing that whoever has received will be thankful for what they have received. So for all you in here that may have helped me out in my life, know that your giving, your generosity to me and my family has produced thanksgiving to God because of you. That should cause you to be thankful that God has been thanked, that he has been praised, and that he's been honored. Because that's what our life is about, isn't it? That in all things we glorify God. In all things we rejoice and find ourselves content because of what God has done and what he's doing and what he has promised in his Son. So let our lives reflect that. So when you give, give as a reflection of God giving Christ in the gospel. And whatever you receive, receive it with thanksgiving to God. Whatever it is. Do not begrudge anyone of giving. And do not reject anything that is given. Because it reflects the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, as we come before you now, we praise you that you have given your Son. And we bow our heads with great thanks, giving you honor and glory. Oh Lord, how you deserve all reverence, all of our thanksgiving, all of our praise. May your name be exalted on high. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.